Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here at New York. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk, broadcasting a little bit late, because I had a lovely palmistry weekend this weekend where we learned palmistry. And a number of students came, and we had a good time, and it was a great fun was had by all. I also have some sad news to report. I appreciate all of your prayers and letters of support, but handsome. My wingman and catman passed into the ethers, left on last Monday, and he is sailing for new shores. So I had a vet, a lovely Sagittarius New Zealand vet, a wench, so to speak, come to my house and put him to sleep because his tumors had really gotten, he was hiding and not feeling very well and just. But he went out with a smile, and he was flirting with her as he left, so that's always a good sign. And I didn't take him to the vet that cut off his private parts, you know, so he was, I figured bad karma to take the cat to a vet who he didn't like because he cut off his parts, if you know what I mean. So handsome left in the arms of a beautiful woman. It is with great sadness. Max and Remo and I are adjusting. It's definitely been a little weird and hard, and forward we go. So no more handsome howling, and no more big guy. You know, I got him as a rescue in October of 2007. Came on Halloween, and the rescue lady. Oh, he got caught in Kissimmee Park in Queens, and the rescue lady came and said, opened the bag, and he got out, and he ate some food, and he went to the litter box, and he hopped in the pink chair and went to sleep. And I thought, well, that's certainly a comfortable cat. So he arrived on Halloween, which is, of course, appropriate for an astrologer's cat on All Saints Day and the day of the new year for the Celts, and I am half Irish. And then he left, as my friend and colleague Aaron pointed out to me, he left on All Kings Day, which is the day that the astrologers discovered baby Jesus by following a star. So he really is an astrologer's cat, and he's off to new pastures. So good wishes. We've had a lot of tears, but a lot of laughter, telling handsome stories. So forward he goes to new adventures, and the rest of us left behind with a hole in our heart, but a great appreciation for a wonderful cat. So this week, lots going on, lots of Venus aspects, actually. Now, we're still working with, and the idea here is to give you some help in figuring out how to navigate the week ahead. And what you can expect. And I will say this week the moon is crabby, okay? The emotions are going to be crabby. Last week we had air stationing. So a few people were like, how come everybody's so angry? You know, we find these planets, and when we discover them in the sky and name them after archetypal imageries, Eris being an angry woman who's the sister, a vengeful goddess who's the sister of Mars, she tends to provoke angry women or angry responses. So she stationed midweek last week, which is why everybody was crabby. Now this week, the moon is in hard closing aspects during the week. On the weekend, when it goes into Virgo, it has nice closing aspects. But during the week, when it's in Cancer and in Leo, both of them have stressful closing aspects. So the moon is right; it's going to be void tomorrow morning. And then at 7:25 tomorrow night, it goes into Leo, or Cancer rather, and it's in Cancer on Tuesday. And it goes void Wednesday night at 11:52 on a full moon. Okay, so the full moon at night is a 25 Cancer, and the Sabian images for it is a pixie sprite, one of the Sabian images, and I handed it up for a second ago, and of course I don't remember it because I'm getting old. And the other Sabian image is a water sprite, I'm sorry, as opposed to a pixie sprite. And the other Sabian image is guests are reading in the library of a luxurious home. So it's a good week to order books from Amazon, or read books, I guess. And so on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the moon is in Cancer. Closing aspect, this is the full moon Wednesday night, late at 11:52 p.m. And then the moon goes into Leo on Thursday and Friday with a closing aspect of a square to Saturn. So oppositions are separating Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. and struggles Thursday, Friday, emotional struggles or struggles around what do I want versus what do I have to do. And we're all going to be feeling a little resentful about what we have to do because the moon's in Leo and we want to do what we want to do and we don't want to be told how not to do it. And, of course, Saturn in Scorpio is going to say you have to be responsible. Then on the weekend, we get into Saturday night, the moon goes into, the moon's void all day Saturday, too. So it's void all day Monday, and it's void all day Saturday. It goes into Virgo Saturday night, and then Sunday morning it's in Virgo. And it goes void there with the sextile to Saturn. So it's actually a positive closing aspect on the sextile, and that, of course, is Martin Luther King Day, Martin Luther King weekend. So a lot of people are going to be taking a holiday. And also the sun enters Aquarius on 19th. So we're at the very end of Capricorn and leaving Capricorn this week for 30 days of winter because we're in the fixed sign of Aquarius, which is winter, as of Sunday. So our job with this week is to kind of know that Venus is going retrograde and she's forming a number of stressful aspects about our desire nature. And one of the things that she does when she goes backwards is she takes us on a little journey down memory lane, whether we want to go or not, and often brings up emotional areas where we have maybe unfinished business, we have things we haven't accomplished, we have things that we're feeling a little crabby about, we have things where we wished it had turned out better than it turned out. Now, of course, regrets are part of life, and this week is a week of thinking about things that you have regrets for. Now, when I was younger, I had a friend who tried to kill themselves, and one of the things that happened, you know, before she tried to kill herself was she was really depressed, and every now and then, like, I just couldn't take it, and I'd hide myself, as I was in college, I would hide myself in my closet and pretend not to be home when she knocked on the door. And then, of course, she tried to kill herself, and I was a mess for the times when I had hidden in the closet and been unable to deal with it, and because it was just, you know, she was so depressed, and I, you know, only 19 years old, didn't really know how to handle it. And the priest at the time said to me, "Ann, you did the best you could at the time, and that's all anybody can do." And I want you to remember that this week, and I want you to say that to people this week. You did the best you could at the time with the resources you had and the decisions you could make, because this is a week of remembering or thinking about things and kind of the things that you wished had turned out different. Now, part of our life is fate. Part of our life is free will. And sometimes when we run into something that's a little bigger than us or a little wilder than us or a little older than us or, you know, we just don't know how to handle, we don't know how to handle it. So we go, oh, man, you know, and we have regrets. But, you know, it's part of how we learn. And when we're little and we're learning how to walk, nobody says to us, oh, you fell again. You're going to have to crawl for the rest of your life. We fall and we get back up again. We don't even think about it. But when we get older, we start putting in all sorts of self-talk and comments to ourselves and, well, you know, if I only had done this, if I only had done that. Now, the good news this week is Mercury's in Aquarius. He went into Aquarius this weekend. Mercury in Aquarius is very smart. But one of the gifts of Aquarius is also incredibly brutal on a bad day. Observations that are truthful, but you might not like, right? So you kind of go, well, you know, that. And the person goes, well, yeah, I mean, that was true, but I don't really like what you said to me. So Aquarius has the ability to deliver remarks that make us react a little. And that's the other thing that's going to happen this week, because Mercury's in Aquarius, and he's whipping along and forming some stressful aspects around our communication style. The other thing that Mercury does when he gets to Thursday is he enters his shadow for his upcoming retrograde next month. So we start to get what our retrograde in February is going to be about. And as we approach that retrograde and we enter it on Thursday, kind of watch the stories that show up in your life Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because we're in the shadow. And, of course, Aquarius has a detached ability to say things to you. And he delivers the information. He's not wrong. But he also doesn't always deliver it in a kind way, best way to say it. He just delivers the information like you should want this information and not really think about it. And really a part of the problem with Mercury in Aquarius until the person learns to kind of pause and say, well, emotionally, is that going to hurt the person's feelings, is Aquarius just doesn't get emotions. It just delivers the news. It doesn't really care how you feel about it. It just tells you, right? So when Aquarius delivers the news like that, part of our story is to go, ooh, really? Wow. And then to pause and go, okay, how do I want to reframe this or how do I want to emotionally process it? Because there's no emotional content delivered with it. But because Venus is retrograde and in Cancer and having hard aspects, the news can be news you don't want to hear. And that's okay because you have an opportunity to change it in the upcoming retrograde, because we always get to reverse things in retrogrades. And also because Venus is retrograde, it may not last once she goes direct at the end of the month on the 31st. So, you know, I had somebody say to me, well, they wanted this promotion, and they were working on it, and then they were trying to figure out how to get it, and then realized it was going to go to someone else, so they weren't even going to apply for it. So then their boss called them in and said, you have to interview for the promotion. So they were like, well, I'm not going to get it. Why would I do that? Well, for a couple reasons. It shows they're looking for an internal candidate. Your boss wants you to apply. You know, you want to, you know, that gives them the stats to say who they looked at, whatever. If you know you're going in interviewing, you're not going to get it, you know, you're kind of like feeling a little picked on, right? So she interviewed, and she kicked butt and did a great job. Of course, the job went to the other person instead of her, which she knew it was going to happen. But then the result of it was she got called in by her boss, who laid out the longer-term plan and strategy that when this person took over that job, then she would get this other job, and then this other thing would happen. And the net of it was she was going to get a really significant pay raise. But she basically, you know, basically she had to go and kind of humble herself and apply for a job she wasn't going to get or do something that wasn't going to work out anyway, right? That's the story of this week, too. So you might go, you know, you might get asked to do something, and you're like, well, I'm not going to get it anyway. Why would I want it? And your job is to go, well, that's the energy of the week. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get it, but I'm going to get practice on it. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to whatever. And back when I was younger and I was interviewing with this headhunter, he said, Ann, because I'm an Aquarius rising, and, of course, when I don't want something, I'm really pretty clear about it. He goes, I want you to go out, and I want you to get the job. I want you to make them want you. And I will turn them down, but I want you to make them want to hire you, okay? That's what I ask of all my candidates. Get out there, pitch, get them to want you. Get them to want you to hire you. And then I will handle saying no to them. Don't go in disinterested. Don't go in like you're not, you know, you don't want it. Just pitch the job. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Makes him look good, makes me look good. I don't have to take it. He's not a headhunter that's going to press because he gets a commission. But he wants the push. Guy was really one of the top headhunters in the city at that time. And I thought that's a really good thing to say to people. So this week, I want you to go in like you want the job. I want you to go in like you know it's going to work out. I don't want you to talk yourself out of it, say, oh, that'll never happen, or, you know, it's going to go to Susan or Bob or John or nobody will pick me. I want you to pitch it. While you may not get what you're pitching, you're getting set up for the future. And when Venus goes direct, you might get something better, as in the case of my friend who's getting this other job, the big plan, explained to her after she did the blow the socks off job on the interview, because she let the higher-ups see her and see how good she was, even though, so when the guy goes, well, you know, she's going to take over, everybody's going to go, oh, yeah, that would be great. We'd love to have had her, but, you know, we had to give it, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? So I want you pitching. I want you really focusing and pitching for, hitting for it, swinging for it. My sister's a basketball coach. Her internal frustration is the kids not take shots. They get the ball and they pass it, you know, and they don't shoot. You got to shoot for the basket this week, even if it's a no, even if it's not a happening. And when it doesn't happen, and when someone says, well, you're really not qualified, say, okay, well, what do I need to do to be qualified? What's missing? and get that information and then get that part on your resume. It might just be time. It might be seniority. But you want to at least understand why you didn't get it, if you can ask, and you want to pitch, you want to hit for the bleep, you want to hit for the fence, you want to hit for the home run, and you want to swing. No standing there and having them pass the ball and it's a strike. I want you swinging. You're going to miss. It's totally cool. You're supposed to miss this week. But the setup is to get you to next, whatever next is. And part of Venus going retrograde in Capricorn is all about the bigger vision, the bigger understanding of how we got to where we are based on the choices we make. So no regrets. Apply. Kick butt. Go for it. Knowing it's probably not going to work out, but you don't care because you want to push the energy. You want to push the energy and show the universe, you know, your stuff, for lack of a better word. Okay. Theme, got it? Comfortable? Good. Next. Okay, the week ahead, we've talked about the moon's aspects. Of course, it's in Cancer, you know, emotional. It's in ego, Leo, you know, da-da-da-da. And then it's in Virgo, practical. Next week's much nicer. But this week is emotional and ego-based. So, you know, just know that that's the energy of no running around. But it's not no because there's anything wrong with you. It's just no because it's a no. Sun goes from 23 cap into Aquarius on the 19th at 10 o'clock at night, 10:51 at night. And he has a number of aspects to Chiron, being wounded, to Ceres, you know, being, you know, like, this is what I really want. I really want to partner with this. And it's kind of like, nah, probably not going to happen. And then a trine to Admetos, which is an ending on the 17th, and then a parallel to Pluto, which is power, dynamics, and struggles after you see the pattern changes on Saturday. So the sun is working hard, but he's in Capricorn, and the sun in Capricorn is eminently practicable, but Capricorn always has to wait. You know, if you talk to anybody with a Capricorn planet, sun, moon, whatever, that planet in Capricorn always waits, always goes last, always has to do it a couple times. The other guy gets picked first, then they get the seconds, or they get the next pass. But it's Capricorn, so we're waiting when we're in Capricorn. Of course, Venus is retrograde in Capricorn this week, right? She's been retrograde all month. She's retrograde until the 31st. So she has a semi-square to Neptune on the 15th. This is a little bit of depression. You're going to find your energy's a little low. You might even have a cold or a cough or some kind of flu thing on the 15th. Because of that semi-square. Then when we get to Monday the 16th, or Tuesday the 16th, Venus squares Mars, which is a test or a push on your ability to love and want and get, and then the square to Mars is the struggle to get it. Remember, Venus and Mars, when they're fighting, remember when people fight, when you fought with a loved one, yes, Venus and Mars square. So this is also a good week for fighting with your emotional companions. And that's just kind of part of the story. Then Venus has a parallel to Saturn on the 17th, which is a lot about, you know what, I don't really want to do this anymore. This isn't really working. That's when the regret comes in, because Venus in Capricorn counts her losses, right? You know, some people count the winners. Some people count the losers. Venus in Capricorn counts the losers. She goes, well, that's how much it cost me. It cost me this. I don't want you to think about it as cost. I want you to think about it as investment in getting where you're going. Okay? It's not a cost. It's an investment in the future, and it has a 1-2 part to it. First, you have to do the work, and then if you've done the work, you get the investment. So you may not know where the investment's going, and you may not get what you want, but you know the goal here is the investment in the process. And when Venus is in Capricorn, she says, it doesn't really matter if I pay you or not. It's about you doing the work and moving forward, because when you do the work and move forward, then everybody's happy. So that's her job this week. I'm going to come back to Mercury. I know I skipped him for those of you who do this show in order. Mars has a sesquiquadrate on the 18th to Neptune. Mars and Neptune, of course, Neptune is active with both Venus and Mars this week because they're fighting. So Neptune is the emotions behind the fight, okay? remember, Venus is retrograde. I got clients that are breaking up with people. It's over. Venus is retrograde. It ain't over. Venus is retrograde. You can't make an emotional relationship or financial decision that's really going to last. What you're doing is you're making an adjustment and a change to how it goes forward. And that's an important thing to note. You're looking at it and you're saying, okay, I think we're really done with this. And you are. You're done with it. So that's good. What's the new thing? Because out of the endings of the old comes the new. And of course, with Venus sesquiquadrate to Neptune, a little bit of a drama, right? A little drama queenie. And of course, Mars and Venus are in mutual reception, meaning they can swap places. So they can swap places in their lower forms, Venus and Capricorn going, suck it up, I don't care if it costs you $1 million, and Mars and Libra going, you know, I always suffer for you, you always make me do things, you know, kind of a whiny energy. And that, or they can switch places, and Venus can be in Libra and say, partner, you know what I really want? And Mars in Capricorn goes, what, my beloved, what can I get for you? And, of course, these are your personal planets. I mean, it's not just people in the world, but these are your planets that get things. And this week they're not going to get what they want, but they're going to know that they tried, and they're going to know that at least they suggested it, right? So that's the story. So they can do it lower form. They can do it higher form. You're going to really feel it on the 18th and, of course, when they have their argument earlier in the week. Neptune has an aspect on the 16th to the nodes of fate. Neptune is in Pisces. Last week he figured out who you wanted to partner with, or he shifted the partnership. This week, as Neptune trines the nodes of fate on the 16th, you're presented with an offer, or an opportunity. Now remember, the nodes go backwards. So they're now at 3 Scorpio, 3 Taurus. And in a couple of weeks, they're going to move into Libra Aries. So the North Node in Scorpio has taken you on a year and a half or so psychological journey about what you want. At the same time, the South Node in Taurus has been releasing a lot of the things that no longer work for you. So this week, Neptune is going to say, okay, how you doing on that releasing? How you doing on that moving towards what you want to build and psychologically healing? And the trine is helpful and supportive, but also highly emotional. And it's being stimulated by the Venus square Mars. Again, back to, you're not going to get what you want, but it doesn't really matter. The point of it is to push as hard and go for it anyway. Try. And who knows? Maybe you will. A few years back, there was an Olympic, and this kid had fallen. Her scores weren't great. And so she didn't think she had a chance for the gold. So the coach just said, just skate your heart out because, you know, probably not going to win the gold. And so she did. And it ended up, her stating was so stunning because she took the pressure off of, I have to get this. She just pushed it and skated like she loved it, right? And she did it because she loved it, and she went for it, and it ended up winning. And it, that kind of energy, she was a skater on Long Island, I can't remember her name now, but it was a young kid, and it was like, well, you know, I knew this was my Olympics, and I knew I couldn't win, so I just skated like I love, the way I love to skate. And that's your job this week, too, is to remember what you love and push for that, too. We don't have any other difficult aspects, really. We do have Saturn arguing with Eris on the 19th. That's an adjusting energy. It's talking to it from a Virgo or health point of view. So this can be an uptick in the flu and that kind of thing this week, or reports of health matters, but basically not horrible, just kind of those nagging little weird things that we all have to go through from time to time. Okay, so now back to Mercury. This week, Mercury is really busy. He's in 3 Aquarius. He does enter his shadow. So it's important for us as of Thursday to watch what the story is when he gets to 18 Libra, when he gets on the 16th, I think it is, he gets to 18 Libra. And that is the Mercury retrograde story we're going to work with in February. Now, we've talked before that this is a really interesting year because Mars is retrograde, Venus is retrograde, Mercury is retrograde, all in the first quarter. And each of them are personal planets. So they're taking you on a trip down memory lane and asking you, what do you want to change? Last year, Mercury was retrograde in water signs all year long. So all the Mercury retrogrades were very emotional. This year, he's retrograde in air and water signs simultaneously each of the three times. So it'll be ideas and then emotions, okay? So we're entering the idea phase because he's going into air, and then he's going to get into Pisces, and then he's going to go retrograde in Pisces, and then he's going back into the air, and then he's going to go back forward into the water. So it's we're in and out of the water, jumping in and out of the pool. So watch what shows up this week because this is what you're going to be dealing with all February, especially around ideas, communications, and relationships. Not relationships to people, but relationships to the ideas of the mind. So this week, Mercury, because he went into Aquarius this weekend, is going between 2 and 13. So he's traveling pretty fast. He's traveling about 2 degrees a day. It's not his top speed, but it's pretty quick. And he has a square to the nose of fate on the 14th, on Tuesday. You're going to be asked to make some choices then about what to do. Or you're going to get some information you're not going to be happy with, because the square is a square, and we have to make a choice. And this may be the no. You know, you get the no on the 16th, on the 14th, rather. And it's understanding that Mercury square the nodes is, it's, you know, it's just delivering the news, right? It's not taking it personally. And I remember way back when, my one of my first performance reviews, I got really incensed, you know, with the, you know, needs to improve part. They're like, what do you mean I need to improve that, you know? And I'm not always the easiest person to manage. And my manager was like, well, you know, I'm like, I don't need to improve that. You know, so Mercury square the nose, you may have that kind of reaction. Someone says to you, well, you know, what you really need to improve is this, and or you need to do this. And you're like, I don't want to do that because it's an Aquarius, right? You're not necessarily going to want to do what they're going to tell you you have to do. You don't have to do it, but you do have to at least hear it, right? So in the palmistry weekend, we just talked it towards the end. We did a kind of a recap of what everybody had learned, and one woman said very nicely, she goes, well, I thought it was really interesting because, like, people said kind of the same thing a few times, you know? And, like, you would hear it when they would kind of all point it out to you, and you would go, I know about that. I know about that. So you might even find yourself, I know about that. When you know about it, Mercury, square the nodes, what are you doing about it? Mars and Libra. Probably not enough. Now, Mercury, when he enters his shadow, is going to be trying Mars. So part of the reason you're getting this information is to improve your actionable behavior or improve what you're doing. So when that headhunter said to me, go for the job even if you don't like it, I must have had a look on my face. Because then he looked at me and he goes, Ann, I want them to want you. I will handle that you don't want the job. That's my job. But I only send in candidates that kick butt. Because I want everybody to go, God, that guy has great candidates. Right? I'm like, okay, so I'm making you look good. And he goes, right. But you're looking good too. I'm like, right. But I don't want, you know, I mean, I'm like, I'm thinking, but I don't want the job, you know. And, you know, you have to kind of look at this as partnering with something you might not want to partner with because you have to. So your job is to go, okay, I got to partner with that, and I will. Mercury, other big aspect this week is he's busy talking to Pluto and to Chiron and to Uranus. He goes through that cardinal square. And he sets it off. But, of course, he's an Aquarius, so he's very detached. He doesn't really much care what you think. He's just going to be giving you information. Your job, should you decide to accept it, is to listen to the information. Say, I'm going to take that on advisement. Go home and think about it. You know, kick the furniture, whatever you need to do. And then go do it. Okay? No lollygolling. Mars is still moving forward. Say yes, move forward, push, go for it. On a shameless self-promotion note, I'm doing a winter webinar, winter webinar for ESAR on next Sunday the 19th, bright and early, 9 in the morning. I know, it's really early. I can't imagine I'm going to be talking very good at that hour in the morning. I have trouble at midnight. But it's an excellent lecture. It's called Planets as People. Are they in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime? So you can buy the webinar afterwards. You don't have to get up at 9 in the morning. Or you can get up at 9 in the morning and join me on my Maiden Joiner Journey. Maiden Journey is a webinar person. So that's the scoop. Have a great week. It'll be fun. Just kind of push the energy. Say yes, even if you're going to no. Just kind of do it. Go for it. Make them want you. And then you can always say, yeah, I got better things to do. Next week's easier than this week. But emotionally, you're really working out some really deep stuff. So the reason you're doing it is it's because it's so worth it on the other side. This is Ann Ortley signing off. Have a great week. And a merry, merry, how did it get to be January? Take care. Bye-bye.